After Sunday crowns Holy Week and these past 3 days of the Triduum, it's good for us to acknowledge today that in some ways the order of the Triduum is rather surprising. Holy Thursday is centered around a meal, Good Friday is centered around a death, and today, Easter Sunday, is centered around new life. The order of nature would seem to suggest that new life would come first, and then the meal, and then, finally, death itself. This, however, is not the supernatural order of the Spirit. Social philosopher Eugene Rosenstock QC captures it this way: Christianity is the embodiment of one single truth throughout the ages, that death precedes birth. The order proposed by the Triduum is in many ways biblically consistent. The meal comes first for Elijah in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, when he falls down beneath a broom tree, a single day's journey into the desert, and begs for God to take his life. An angel appears in that moment, however, offering him food and strengthening him for a journey of 40 days through the desert, escaping an army at his back, before Elijah encounters God on Mount Horeb. Death comes to Moses on Mount Nebo in the 34th and final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, but the story of Israel does not end with the death of Moses. In the distance, before he dies, Moses beholds the promised land and the story of the Israelites arriving there after a long journey of 40 years in the desert is only just about to begin. When it comes to new life, it's ultimately life that has the final word, most notably as the Bible ends in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the final chapter of the book where we read of a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, where, as verse 5 tells us, night will be no more, nor will they need light from lamp or sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever. Think for a moment of 2 Sundays ago, the 5th Sunday of Lent. Christ journeyed to Bethany to the tomb of Lazarus, and spoke to the dead man in the grave, "Come out." These words are not just spoken to Lazarus, they're spoken to the church in a special way I would offer at the present time. The Greek word for church, ekklesia, combines ek, which means out, and the verb kaleo, which means to call. Lazarus is called out. The church is called out of the tomb as well. An ecclesial community or a church is literally a group of people called out of their homes, their solitary lives, to assemble, to come together in order to live and pray and worship God together as one. In a way, then, these days give us a fascinating way of understanding the meaning of the church. They challenge us mightily in the present time, but it doesn't overturn our ability to be church. In a strange and powerful way, this time is preparing us all for a time when we come together in our churches, in a special way in this beautiful cathedral, to reveal and to live the meaning of church all the more fully. The English word that we use for church comes from another Greek word, kuriakon, which means beautifully belonging to the Lord. It's fascinating that church in English carries this meaning. And that's the purpose of our lives. It's the meaning of our lives as Christians, that we belong ultimately to the Lord. And the resurrection has a way of reminding us of this fact in an enormously unforgettable, powerful way. We belong to the Lord in his suffering and death, but most powerfully, we belong to the Lord in his resurrection. Life, friends, will have the final word, even to the extent of overcoming the death of those who have died. Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.